Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. So if you don't believe that God answers prayer, this morning when we got to church, I unlocked the door by my office to come in. I unlocked my office door. And then when I went to grab my keys to bring them up front, like I do every Sunday morning, because, you know, I'm OCD, so everything has to be in order, right? I couldn't find them. And I'm looking and I'm looking and I can't find them. I'm looking everywhere. I can't find them. So finally, Jared says, I've got to do something. Don't start without me. So I go back to my office and I pray. I say, God, help me find those keys so that I can worship, so that I can preach, so that I can do those things that I need to do. And so for some reason, I looked down behind my office chair and that's where they were. So I found them because God answers prayer. Amen?
Amen.
And the reason why you're here is because God answered prayer, because we've been praying that God would allow us to be able to have a good crowd this morning, and it looks like we do. All right, if you have a bulletin, take it out. If you are a guest with us, welcome. We don't always start every Sunday this way, but you know what? It helps. And so take your bulletin out and let's take a look and see what's going on. If you are a visitor with us today and you got a welcome packet, inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate before it, when it comes by, that would just be great. Or you can leave it out here on the information table out in the foyer. That would also be helpful as well. We'll take your bulletin out and let's take a look at what's going on. Tuesday, we have leadership team meeting. Oh, by the way, no Sunday school today. No Sunday school next week because it's church family dinner. So on the 19th, Sunday school will start back up again. So you might just want to make a note of that. I know it's noted that way in the bulletin, I believe, and so you just might want to make your own note if possible. So Tuesday night, men, at 6:30, we have our leadership team meeting here at the church. Hope you have that on your calendar. Thursday, we have Awana, and it's our Awana Grand Prix. This is where they build those little cars out of wood or trucks or some kind of vehicle out of wood, and then we race them down a track, and it's really a lot of fun. If you've never seen one of these and you'd like to come and see what it's all about, that would be great. Come in and watch these boys and girls and even the adults racing their cars down this track. It'll be great. Ladies, Saturday at 10 a.m., you have Ladies Coffee Connection, and that's going to be at the home of Diane Crawford. And so if you have any questions about that, see Diane. Diane, maybe give a little wave so that everybody will be able to know exactly where you are. Next Sunday is our annual Soup and Sandwich Church Family Dinner. So please sign up at the information desk. There are still some lines that haven't have anybody's name on them. And even if somebody has their name on it and you want to bring it as well, you put your name on it as well if there's an open line, okay? So it's important for you to sign up so that we can make sure that we have enough food for everyone. So just remember, you're helping to be able to bring and add to the meal. So I'm looking forward to what kind of soup we're going to have, what kind of sandwiches we're going to have. And if you are a guest with us today, you are more than invited to come back next week and join us for this great thing. We have a need. And we need two adult ladies who would like to help in the nursery on a regular monthly rotation. And if you can do that, please see Andrea. And if you don't know who Andrea is or you don't know where she is, if you go to the nursery after the service, you'll see her. She'll be right there. Okay? All right. So just make sure that if you can do that. And then I just want to say, I know there's a blurb in the bulletin about it, but I just want to say thank you. Thank you for all of the cards, the letters, the pictures, the gifts, and the very generous monetary gift that you gave to Becky and I New Year's Eve. And we are just so grateful. You take such good care of us, and it's a privilege to be able to serve with you and to be able to serve you here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. It is our honor. It's my honor to be able to be called your pastor, and so I'm so grateful for that. Well, are you ready to worship? Now remember, worship isn't just singing. Worship is everything that we do here on Sunday morning and everything that we do as believers throughout each and every day. Worship is us giving God the worth that he deserves because he is God. So I'm ready to worship. Are you?
I'm ready to worship.
Let's do it.
Would you all stand with me this morning as we get started? Let's open with a word of prayer as we get going. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we get to experience another day with you. Lord, thank you that you have told us in your word that you prepare our way ahead of us. You prepared good things, good works that we should walk in them. And so, Lord, help us to do that. As we look forward to this next year, Lord, help us to follow you. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name for today. Amen.
Amen.
Morning dawns and evening fades. You inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. And Jesus, in your name we pray, come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Your name. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from the before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. And that's what you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. That's what you are. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. And that's what you are. You're unchangeable. You're unshakable. You're unstoppable. And that's what you are. You are God alone.
Lord, we're here to praise you today. We're here to worship you today. God, as we sing these songs of remembrance about how great you are, about how much praise you're worthy of, Lord, we're here for you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Thank you, God, for the future you've prepared for us. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us as we go. Lord, we love you, and we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated as we continue.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus.
Let's sing that one more time. Praise the name.
Praise the name of Jesus.
He's worthy of it.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Why?
Because he's my rock and he's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. I want to be close, close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above, singing as one, hallelujah. Holy, holy, God Almighty, great I am. Who is worthy? None beside thee, God Almighty, great I am. I want to be near, near to your heart, loving the world and hating the dark. Want to see dry bones living again, singing as one, hallelujah. Holy, holy, God Almighty, great I am. Who is worthy? None beside thee. God Almighty, great I am, great I am. The mountain. mountains shake before you, the demons run and flee. At the mention of your name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I Am. The great I Am, the great I Am, the great I Am, the great I Am, the great I Am. Hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, great I Am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I Am, the great I Am, the great.
Worship you and you alone. Whatever baggage we came in with this morning pales in comparison to how great you are. Whatever pains and suffering, whatever difficulty, pales in comparison to who you are. Lord, help us to leave our self-pity at the door. At the foot of the cross, where it belongs. Lord, you today are worthy of all that we have to give, every ounce of praise. Lord, may our heart sing, our mouth speak, our minds focus on you because you're the most worthy. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for refreshing. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for refreshing. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to take offering, and God is good, amen?
Amen.
Man, I came in kind of, you know, dragging my woes behind me, and I talked to Dave, and Dave encouraged me. Thank you, Dave. And God is good, and he doesn't lie when he says, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. So I encourage you to do that today. Take a moment. If you need to, pray. As we sing this song, which is God of my story, God has a plan for you, and it doesn't include you dragging your pities around all day, every day like I do sometimes. So let's lift him up. Let's praise him today. Amen? Yes. Come on. Yes.
Even when I could not see, you were parting seas for me. Even when I could not breathe, you would exhale life in me. First and final breath, every single step, I have seen the proof of your faithfulness. God of my story, from glory to glory, behind and before me, you've been with me, Lord. Through all of my history, from valley to victory, beginning and ending, every chapter is yours. You are God of my story. All I have is yours. Every time I lose my way, when I'm standing in my shame, every sin is washed by the waves in the ocean of your grace. God of my story, from glory to glory, behind and before me, you've been with me, Lord. Through all of my history, from valley to victory, beginning and ending, every chapter is yours. You are God of my story. All I have is yours. You are God of my story. All I have is yours. It is finished. I'm not finished. You are resurrecting all of me. When it's over, it's not over. You're the author of eternity. You are resurrecting all of me. God of my story, from glory to glory, behind and before me, you have been with me, Lord. God of my story, from glory to glory, behind and before me, you have been with me, Lord. Through all of my history, from valley to victory, beginning and ending, every chapter is yours. You are God of my story. All the good and the bad, every word that is read is yours. God of my story. Every line of my life is a song glorifying you, Lord. And all I have is yours.
Amen.
Sometimes singing these songs, there's a hazard, and the hazard is they become so familiar that we don't pay any attention to what it is that we're singing. We don't pay any attention to what it is that God, through his Holy Spirit, as we are lifting our voices in praise, singing these songs, we lose sight of what it is he wants us to learn, what it is he wants us to take with us. We just sang a phrase over and over again. All I have is whose? His, yours. Do you really mean that? Does that really reflect in the way that you live your life? Or is your life all about you? What you want, how you feel, what you think you deserve, what you think you need? Or is your life truly his? Think about that for a moment while we ask the kids to come down and get them sent off for children's church. So kids, come on down. The Lone Ranger. I'm so thankful for this young man. I'm so thankful for his faithfulness to God. He's pretty precious, you know. I was telling somebody the other night at our New Year's Eve party that shortly after he was born, I came to see him in the hospital. And I prayed a prayer of blessing over him. What a privilege that was. Then I asked him if he remembered that, and he said no. But that's okay, right? All right, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful for all that we've been able to experience this morning. Father, we've captured your heart. I really believe that, as we've opened our hearts and opened our voices to sing to you. And Father, we don't want to let that go in these just next few moments. Father, we want to have you capture our hearts as we listen and pay intent attention to your word, because your word is truth. Father, your word is authoritative. Your word is what we need to be able to learn more and more about you, so that we can live more and more for you. So, Father, I pray that you will answer that prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, while he's going off to children's church, join me, if you will, in Psalm chapter 10. Psalm chapter 10, and while you're turning there, as many of you know, I like to begin my sermons with humor, and sometimes at my own expense, which is okay. This morning, though, as we come to Psalms 10, in our series called Praising Our Way Through the Psalms, I need to confess that I can't find anything very humorous about this cry from the heart of the psalmist. Now, there are Bible scholars who have suggested that Psalm 9 and Psalm 10 were originally one single psalm. But as I studied these two psalms, both of them have differences. And the biggest difference is that Psalm 9 is a psalm of thanksgiving, while Psalm 10 is a psalm of sorrow. And in a theological way, this psalm is an example of what we consider to be an imprecatory prayer, which means it is a prayer of sorrow. It is a prayer of pain. It is a prayer of concern. It is a prayer of the heart. And we know that as we look at this prayer because it contains brutal honesty. There are no punches pulled here. The great author C.S. Lewis once said, reading Psalm 10 is like throwing open the door of an oven that is set to 500 degrees. You immediately get hit full in the face with the heat of the psalmist's fury. And so hopefully by now you've found Psalm 10 in your Bible. Follow along as I read Psalm 10, and I'm going to read the whole psalm. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs them up. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God is forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God. Lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? But you do see, for you know mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. One of the reasons that I'm drawn to the Psalms is that they are so honest. And one of the things that I've noticed as I've been selecting Psalms for us to be able to take a look at in this series of messages of praising our way through the Psalms is that the psalmists were not afraid to question God. And they had very little patience with powerful people who persecuted the poor. Now, when it talks about the poor, when it talks about the sick here in Psalm chapter 10, it's not necessarily talking about a physical or a material poorness. It's talking about a spiritual or a relational or an emotional or a spirit poorness. And the same with those who are weak. It's not a weak of strength. It's a weak of being able to handle the things that life sometimes sends their way. And we can learn a valuable lesson from the Psalms. And the lesson is this. We can talk to God about our questions and problems. You might want to write that down. We can talk to God about our questions and our problems. Because most of the time when we have questions and we have problems, the last thing that we do is talk to God about them. The first thing we do is we try to fix them ourselves. And how's that usually work out? You all know, right? Sometimes not so well, right? And then when we've tried and we've tried and we've tried to do everything that we could think of, everything that we could think to be able to do to solve this problem, what do? We make it worse. And when we've come to the end of our rope and we have nowhere else to turn, then where do we go? To God. When the psalmists tell us the first thing we should do is what? Go to God. Because we can tell him our problems. We can ask him our questions. Man, that ought to be a release to all of us. Because I'm sure we have questions from time to time about God. Can I be brutally honest this morning? I have questions sometimes about God. Sometimes God does things and I go, God, why did you do it that way? God, if you'd only consulted me, I could have told you to do it a different way. But, you know, then I have to be reminded of what God told Job. Who are you? Who are you to bring me your questions? Where were you when I laid the lines for the foundation of creation? Did I ask your opinion? Did I ask for your advice? And Job kind of went, okay, God, I get it. From here on out, I'm just going to trust you, whether you give me understanding or not. And that leads us to the first point. God wants you to declare your questions. Look at verse 1 again. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? And the Psalms are filled with these kinds of questions. Let me just give you some samples. Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Psalm 42, verse 9. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Psalm 44, verses 23 and 24. Awake, O Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? Do you get it? You see this? The psalmists were not afraid to bring God their questions. They understood who God was. They understood his power. They understood his might. They understood that he had a purpose and a plan. But they weren't afraid to bring him their questions. God wants us to declare to him our questions. When questions are and problems are a part of our life, it's not unspiritual to ask God, to declare your questions to God. And let me let you know something about God. He's big enough to handle your questions. He's big enough to handle your questions. Now, I've had people as they've come to me from time to time and as pastor and or as a spiritual leader, and they say, man, I've got some questions that I really would love to ask God. There's some things that are going on. I just want to ask God why. And I say, have you done that? Oh, are you kidding me? I could never do that. Why? Can I clue you in something else? God already knows. He already knows the questions that are on your heart. He already knows the questions that have cropped into your mind. He already knows what it is that you are wrestling with in your life. You're not telling him something he doesn't know. You're not going to say, God, I just want to ask this question just to get it off my heart, to get it off of my mind. And God's not going to go, why are you even bringing me this? No, he cares. He cares enough to be able to what? Want to hear the questions that are on your heart. Maybe some of you are sitting here this morning and you've been hit with some pretty tough circumstances. Maybe a person very close to you has recently died. Maybe you've recently lost your job. Maybe your marriage isn't as stable as it once was. Maybe your parents' health or your own health is failing fast. Maybe your children are not living like they should. Your bills are stacked up on your desk. You've had an accident that's changed the course of your life. You've developed a health concern and you don't know why. Maybe your childhood was filled with more tough times than pleasant times. And maybe a close relationship has been broken. So what do you do when you're faced with a difficulty and you feel like God is playing hide and seek with you, it's okay to declare your questions to God. Don't ever think that believers shouldn't question God and then keep your concerns bottled up. But somehow, we've been taught, we've been led to believe, especially as a believer, that we can't ask God questions. Because if we do, he's going to pour his judgment out. The thunderbolts are going to fly. The lightning's going to strike. And we're going to be fried like bacon in a skillet on a hot stove. And who wants that? No, God isn't going to do that. How do we know the psalmist? None of the psalmists were put to death by God, were judged by God because of what? The questions that they asked. In fact, God used them over and over and over again to be able to be a comfort to the nation of Israel by the struggles that they had, having them write down the questions that were on their heart. I just gave you several examples of that. It's much better to ask God where he has been than it is to wear your spiritual smile and act like everything is going well when you know in your heart that it isn't. So follow the prayer example of the psalmist. You have permission by God to be honest. And here's another observation from verse 1. The question is expressed directly to who? To God. The psalmist says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Notice that David doesn't complain to anyone else. David doesn't complain to anyone else. As believers, we have an avenue for unloading the hidden hurt in our hearts. Jared just reminded us of that. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "Cast all of your care upon him." Why? So that he can throw a lightning bolt at you? No. Because he cares. Because he cares for you. We don't have to burden our friends and family because we can go directly to God with our questions. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus is our high priest. We can go to him and he takes our prayers. He takes our hurts. He takes those things of our heart and brings them before God on our behalf. We don't need someone else to do that for us. And if you're wondering why things are happening the way they are, ask God about it and be honest with him, because he can take it. Now the word question, I don't know if you caught this, the word question comes from the root word quest. So if you're on a quest to be able to have your heart lightened, to be able to have your mind freed, if you're wanting answers, then don't hesitate to declare your doubts. Because if you don't ask, you might miss out on some surprising answers that God wants to share with you and cut short some spiritual growth that God wants to accomplish in your life. That brings us to the next point. The next point is this: God wants you to describe your complaints. That's what verses 2 through 11 tells us. God wants you to describe your complaints. After declaring your questions to God, the next step is to describe your complaint. This reminds me of a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. They're walking through the snow, and Calvin says, "Some people complain all the time. They complain about the least little thing." You know people like that? And in the cartoon, he holds his head and grimaces. He goes on to say, "If something bugs them, they never let go of it. They just go on and on, long after everyone else is no longer interested. It's just complain, complain, complain. People who gripe all the time really drive me nuts. You'd think they'd change the subject after a while, but they never do. They just keep griping until you start to wonder what's wrong with this person. But they go on complaining and repeating what they've already said." Hobbes, the tiger, rolls his eyes and says, "Maybe they're not very self-aware." To which Calvin responds, "Boy, that's another thing that gets on my nerves." Listen, when you're talking to God, don't worry about repeating what you've already said. Because he already knows. So no matter how many times you tell him, you're not telling him anything he hasn't figured out yet. Describe your concerns in detail. Spell it out. After declaring his heartfelt questions, David lists many of the problems that he observes. And he can't understand why the poor are persecuted by the proud. And in verses 2 through 11, we find the words to describe people in need. The weak, the innocent, the victim, the helpless. And the psalmist describes those who take advantage of others with some strong language as he names their sins. In verse 2, he says they are arrogant. In verse 2, he also says they pursue the poor. In verse 3, he says they boast of their own evil desires. In verse 3, he says they bless the greedy. In verse 3, he says they do not seek the Lord. In verse 4, he says they have no room for God in their life. In verse 5, he says they lead prosperous lives and they ignore the laws of God. In verse 6, they think things will always go their way. Verse 7, they curse and lie. Verse 8, they ambush the innocent. Verse 9, they go around looking for more victims. Verse 10, they crush the helpless. Verse 11, they think that God does not see what they are doing. And if you're going through a tough time right now, declare your questions to God and then describe your complaint. What is it exactly that's bothering you? What is it that's making you irritable and angry? Tell God about it. And if your broken rememberer is in full bore, write it down. Get it out. And then put it into a prayer to God. God wants us to describe our complaints. Here's the third point. God wants you to deepen your commitment to him. It's what verses 12 through 18 was all about. I love the spiritual progression that takes place in this psalm. The hurting believer begins with two bold why questions and then spells out his complaints in detail. But when we come to verse 12, we see that because of being honest with God, his commitment to God now goes to the next level. This is a valuable lesson for us as well. If you have questions and complaints, don't stop. Express them to God. And then listen to what David says in verse 12. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand, forget not the afflicted. David remembers a couple important things here. He calls to mind God's personality. Remember verse 14? But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you, the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper to the fatherless. God is not distant, and he's not hiding. He's a personal God who knows our trouble and sees our tears. And this phrase, take it into your hands, is referring to God's personal involvement and capacity to judge people according to what they have done. Because of God's personality, we can commit ourselves to him. God is the helper of the fatherless. He takes special interest in those who are in need. That may include you this morning. That may include me this morning. And Jeremiah had a similar experience when he was filled with why questions and he listed his grievances to God. But when he got through, he turned his focus to what was true. Listen to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 23. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. Those are not good things, by the way. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down with it within me. But watch this change. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Hope in what? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah was discouraged, but he was determined to deepen his commitment to God. Here in Psalm chapter 10, David focuses on God's power. Listen to verse 16 again. The Lord is king forever. The nations perish from his land. So remember this. God sees what we are going through, and because he is God, he will choose to do something about it in accordance with his determined purpose and plans for our lives. He's not going to do it the way we would want it done. He's going to do it the way that he's already determined for it to be done. And we can trust him for that. Isn't that good to know? Due to his personality and his power, verses 17 and 18 tells us that God not only knows, but he also acts. Let's go back to verse 17. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear. Verse 18, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. And this word here in the Hebrew, means to give diligent attention to someone. What does that tell us? God gives his heart. God gives his heart and his ear to us. But if we're not telling him what we're going through, if we're not telling him how we feel, then he just has to rely on his own knowledge. He wants to hear from us. He wants to know how we feel. He wants us to communicate that. He wants us to get it off of our hearts and to get it out of our minds. Why? So that we can deepen our commitment to him. God gives his heart and ear to us, always ready to listen to what we're going to say. The word desire refers to our longings. It tells us that God understands our deep desires and the troubling aches of our hearts. So whatever you are facing right now, you can embrace the personality and power of God and commit yourself to his word and his purposes as you deepen your commitment to God. Now, what do I want you to walk away with this morning? When we're filled with questions and overwhelmed with complaints, we can deepen our commitment to him. Get this, because forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. That's a song of praise that we sing around here. And it goes like this. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever, for he is good. He's above all things. He's above your questions. He's above your complaints. He's above your discouragement. He's above your depression. For he is good. He is above all things. His love endures for how long? And class, how long is forever? Good job. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. From the rising of the sun, from the rising to the setting of the sun, his love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever you are faithful. Forever you are strong. Forever, God, you are with us. Forever. Forever. As the worship team comes to lead us in this song, make it your prayer of praise.
All right, this is our last song. So go ahead and stand up with me. Get the blood pumping. Get ready to praise, because it's a big one we're going to sing.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. With a mighty hand, outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing. God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. From From the rising to the setting sun, His love endures forever. And by the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever.
Sing it again.
Oh, forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever, forever, forever. Forever God is with us. Forever.